You know, life changes when you view money as a tool, not just a goal. And for almost a century, Faith Life Financial has been helping people be wise with money to achieve their financial goals, but they also help people give back along the way. And the word faith, well, it's in their name for a reason, because being wise with money and living generously are actually expressions of faith. Faith Life Financial is a grow-to-give company, which means that they give back a portion of their earnings to support the communities and causes that you actually care about. For competitive products and customized service, visit faithlifefinancial.ca. Saturday night is a good time for fighting, I think. Right, Tim?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I, you know what? It's funny, bringing up this subject on the show, I've had some interesting reactions from people. It's like people want to get into some Jerry Springer talk radio arguing thing. Like the time we had Tarek Fatah and Andy Kindler screaming at each other.
Oh, man.
A Jew and a Muslim walk onto the Drew Marshall Show and start screaming at each other. Anyway, that's not what I'm going for. But this is a topic that has intrigued me because, look, I very rarely talk about, as I like to call it, the gay stuff anymore because you just don't, I don't know, I don't want to be always talking about that. And it still seems like the Christian, like Christendom still focuses on gay stuff a lot. Hyper-focuses on it. Well, don't you think?
It's two issues, homosexuality and abortion.
Right. Two-trick pony. But this is one that really intrigues me, and I have so many questions about this. Should Trinity Western University have been denied their law school accreditation because they don't want their students to be gay? First of all, is that a fair question? We'll talk about this with a couple of gentlemen who will, I'm sure, school me on this issue. Trinity Western is a private evangelical university that requires its students and staff to abide by a code of conduct. Here are some of the codes in that con. No, here are some of the conducts in that code. No sex before marriage, no adultery, no homosexual relationships, etc. So it's primarily because of this code that the Supreme Court of Canada denied their application to have an accredited law school, as far as I understand. Anyway, to clear everything up, on the line is Derek Ross. He's Executive Director and General Counsel for Christian Legal Fellowship. And Barry Bussey, he is the Director of Legal Affairs for Canadian Council of Christian Charities. Derek, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Drew. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. It's good to have both of you guys. Barry, you're on the line there as well. Are we coming in loud and clear?
Oh, yes. Sounds great. And
good.
Great to be here as well.
The first thing I got to ask is the question okay? So the question we kind of threw out there, because I think that's just generally the opinion that most people have, and Derek will go with you on this one first. Should Trinity Western University have been denied their law school accreditation because they don't want their students to be gay? Is that worded appropriately? Is it wrong? Is it unfair? Or does it hit the nail on the head?
Thanks, Drew. I think the way you've characterized the question is certainly how a lot of people view this case. So in that regard, you know, I think it's fair to frame it that way just in terms of how it's been framed in the media narrative and in the public eye. But as you, I think, have already alluded to, it is a lot more nuanced than that. And I think that it's not the most accurate characterization of the case. I think really what it boils down to is whether it's appropriate for a state actor to treat a religious community differently because of their religious beliefs.
What's a state actor?
Fair enough, yeah. And you feel free to jump in and correct me if I use all these legalese terms during the call.
Well, I realize there might be some people out there who don't understand these phrases. Oh, wait a second. No. Me, I don't understand.
Fair enough. So a state actor is a government body, someone that acts on behalf of government. So in this case, we're talking about the law societies of British Columbia and Ontario. So those are the organizations that regulate lawyers. They're essentially a government body because they've been given the authority by the government to exercise control over regulating lawyers. So we're talking about them in the same way, and the law views them the same way as they would view government itself. So when I'm talking about a state actor, I'm really talking about government. Mm-hmm. And what this really boiled down to was whether the government could effectively say to a religious community, because of your religious beliefs, because of your code of conduct, we will take that into account in determining whether your graduates are fit to practice law. And so the question really boiled down to was, is it the role of the law societies to dig deep and look at the religious beliefs of the institutions of these graduates? Or are they, should they really just be concerned with whether these graduates are going to be fit to practice law, whether they'll be competent, professional, ethical? What is really the scope of their authority? As we'll talk about, I'm sure, we had a split decision on that. Seven judges, the majority of the Supreme Court, said that, yes, the Law Society could, in fact, look at what they called shared values in determining whether these graduates, whether their law degree could be accepted from Trinity Western. And two judges of the nine said that that was completely inappropriate, and that this was far outside the scope of the government to dive in and dig into and peel back and look at these religious beliefs of these graduates and determining whether, in fact, they were whether they should be licensed to practice law, essentially.
Now, you use the phrase split decision. Should that not actually mean half and half, as it does in boxing, so they can't really make a decision? Because 7-2 doesn't seem like a split decision.
Fair enough. Well, that is the term that's typically used when there isn't a unanimous decision on the court.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But fair enough. You know, split does imply an even split. In this case, it's an uneven split, 7-2.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Barry, first of all, do you have anything to add to that before I throw into my next question?
Yeah, no, I think that's good. And I think this concept of the shared values is really one of the items in this case that is that's causing us a lot of concern going forward, because the court has now used, and it has over the last number of years, been using this kind of idea of charter values and charter rights. And in this case, Trinity Western wasn't even subject to the charter because it was a private institution, and yet somehow the decision made it seem as if Trinity is subject to the charter in the same way a government is subject to the charter. And the way they get around it is by saying, well, there are shared values, you know, equality, diversity, inclusion, and so on. And the problem is no one really knows exactly what the limits of these charter values are. There's nothing written in the Constitution itself about charter values. We have a charter right, and the two judges who wrote an opposing decision on this, we call it dissenting decision, made it very clear that this is just simply a moral judgment by the majority, because there's no legal judgment, that there's no legal basis, except if you use this concept of shared values. And that's been what is so problematic for us in the religious community as we look towards the future.
Okay. Derek, we'll go back to you again, try to keep this fair back and forth. Derek, the next question for me would be, is this, and again, how it's being phrased or framed in media, is it simply gay rights versus religious rights? Or, I know it's more nuanced than that, I get that, but come on, seriously, when it comes down to it, who won? Well, those who were saying that gay rights are more important than religious rights. Isn't it as simple as that?
I think that's, again, that would be an oversimplification. I appreciate we're trying to just get down to the brass tacks of what this case was really all about. Maybe but why don't I just take a step back and talk a little bit about the facts and what was really at issue in the case.
Please
you mentioned
do.
The code. You mentioned the code of conduct, Drew, and of course the one that generated the most controversy was that statement that expects staff and students to abstain from sexual intimacy that violates. The wording is that violates the sacredness of marriage between a man and a woman. So certainly the marriage and the sexuality issue was front and center in terms of the issues that were being discussed and debated in the litigation. But it's also important to note that the Law Society in Ontario went even further. And they argued in their factum, that's their written argument, and also their oral argument at the Supreme Court, that it wasn't just the marriage issue that they were concerned with. They objected to this code of conduct's description of Trinity Western as a distinctly Christian environment. That was the term in quotes, distinctly Christian. And the Law Society argued that even without this marriage provision, The references to the New Testament, the references to Jesus Christ in the community covenant effectively would exclude non-Christians. So the issue wasn't just the larger sexuality issue. The state, the Law Society was challenging whether it could issue license to graduates trained in a program that aspired to be distinctly Christian, because they were concerned that that would have an exclusionary effect on non-Christians. So the issue really was about, at the end of the day, can you have a separate private institution that is designed to serve a particular segment of the community?
Right.
Or do all institutions effectively have to be open to absolutely everyone, regardless of whether they agree with the university's underlying mission and principles, in order for their graduates to be licensed? So it was really a broader issue of not just the sexuality piece, but, you know, can we have this notion of private, post-secondary, religiously infused education?
Okay. Barry, anything to add?
Yeah. The thing here is we got to ask ourselves as a country, are we going to be diverse enough to allow independent religious schools, in this case a Christian school, to be able to offer university education? I mean, this school does not only, or this was an expansion of its offering of programs, but it already does nursing, business, and you name it, you know, English, history, and all the rest. And the same principles, I would argue, that the law societies were making can be made by the nursing body that that accredits the school, and the business, the CPA body, all the rest of it. And so this is a fundamental question we've got to ask as Canadians. Are we going to be open enough to allow a independent private religious university? I mean, this is a school that wasn't even receiving any government money. And some people argue, well, but they're receiving accreditation by the government, you know, and really, I mean, are we going to get to the point where we're going to say, well, no, sorry, we can't in this country allow that much diversity? And I think that's a fundamental question that this case raises.
Okay, Barry, I do want to follow up on that last point you made. So this school, Trinity Western University, is not receiving any funding from the government. Is it receiving any tax breaks from the government?
Well, it is
because of its religious state status, not its educational status.
Yeah, it is a registered charity, registered with CRA as a charity. And it was interesting because the Canadian Bar Association's lawyer was asked point blank the question, are your arguments implying that we're now at a point in this country where registered charitable status ought to be viewed in the same way as the law societies have viewed this accreditation? And the lawyer said, yes, we are now at that point. And so this is where we're at, where just by being involved in the public or receiving any kind of license or benefit or any sort of recognition by the government, the argument now is, because you're in the public, you must abide by public norms. And that has never been the case in this country, but it seems to be a growing opinion.
Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. I don't know. I think about this scenario, and I think about the Christian camping industry and all, you know, these ministries that are, even the, what was it, the, I'm going to not do a good job at verbalizing this, but there was some, something about working at summer camps and you got some funding, but if it was a Christian camp, you weren't going to get funding?
The Canada summer jobs issue.
That's it.
The Trudeau government has implemented a program whereby the requirement is that you must attest to a statement that basically says the job and you, the organization, are going to respect charter values, human rights, the Charter of Rights, and other rights. And then in the background information, we find out that the other rights include abortion and so forth. So in essence, you have to sign on saying that you agree with the government's position that abortion is a right that Canadians have a right to access of abortion. And there is no legal right for that. But in any event, even if there was, the government is trying to compel the organizations to agree with their position. And this is why there's been a huge outcry across the country on that issue.
Okay, we're chatting with Derek Ross. He's the Executive Director and General Counsel for Christian Legal Fellowship, and Barry Bussey. By the way, am I pronouncing your name? It's Bussey, right?
Bussey, you got it.
Yeah, because if it was Barry Busey, that's just insane.
Listen, how many times have I faced that? But yeah, no, it's Bussey. He only has the one S. I've got two.
Yeah, but he has three shrinks, so. Director Legal Affairs for Canadian Council of Christian Charities. So I guess, again, just in keeping with that that side of the conversation, Derek, I mentioned to you when we were chatting earlier this week that if a Christian organization wants to get any bonus or benefits from the Canadian government, from the secular government, then they need to abide by the rules that the government lays down. If they don't want to abide by all the rules and regulations that the Canadian government puts upon them, then they say, no, we're not going to have any benefit. We're not going to take your free this or your free that or your charitable this or your charitable that. We're just going to do our own independent thing. We're going to raise all our money ourselves. And then do you think they would be allowed to do what they want to do? So two questions there. One, can you understand that reasoning of, well, we'll stay out of your business if you stay out of ours? Number one. Number two, do you think that would actually make a difference in this example?
Well, that's a really good way of viewing the issue, Drew. And, I think all of us that argued in this case that supported Trinity Western's rights to have their law school, we all argued that absolutely any organization that is looking for a public benefit should be upheld to the standards of the law and must comply with the law and should be expected to do so. And that's the irony in all of this, is that Trinity Western did comply with all legal obligations that applied to it. Its community covenant is protected by human rights legislation. Human rights legislation allows faith-based groups to have codes of conduct like this. In fact, the Supreme Court and other courts have upheld that those laws, because they say this is what actually advances true equality, is by allowing groups to self-define the way that Trinity Western does. Mm-hmm. Trinity Western met all the requirements that the Federation of Law Societies had placed on them. They met the requirements of the BC Ministry of Advanced Education. They met all academic requirements. No one ever disputed anything about that. They complied with all laws. And of course, one of the other legal principles that we have in Canada is freedom of religion and the freedom of religious communities to, as long as they abide by the law, to freely coexist with others. So, in fact, this was a case where you had an organization that met all legal standards, in fact, exceeded them in many cases, but still was denied a benefit simply because a court decided that its values were inconsistent with shared values, not laws. Not legal requirements, mm-hmm. but shared values.
Okay.
And I think that's what's problematic about this.
Okay, Barry, I'll jump over to you for this one. Is there a Muslim law school? Is there a Jewish law school in Canada?
No. Good question again. There is no other religious-based law school in the country. Trinity Western would have been the first. And I should just point out that south of the border, I don't know exactly how many there are, but there are a multiple of religious law schools, Christian as well as Jewish. Muslim, I'm uncertain about, but certainly in New York City, for example, the Benjamin Cordozo Law School is a Jewish school. So the South has that experience. We in Canada, this would have been the first.
Well, that was the other thing I was going to ask. I know a little bit about Liberty University because I'm such a big fan mm-hmm. of Jerry Falwell. No. But I know that as far as, universities go and Christian universities, I mean, it's up there as far as, their graduates having the respect of the community saying, oh, you're graduated there with this degree? Okay, that's we can respect that. And mm-hmm. and so... in the States, what I hear you saying is they can have religious law schools, but not in Canada.
Yep, that's where we are right now. And you know, something else, Drew, is that the Trinity Western, because of its experience, like this is now the second time that it went to the Supreme Court of Canada because an accrediting body refused to accredit its new program. Back in the 2001, they had to go to the Supreme Court of Canada for basically the same reason the BC College of Teachers did not want to accredit them.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Their admissions policy, worded just a little bit different, but basically the same message. Now, in that case, the court said, look, if you were to deny Trinity its accreditation of its education degree, then what would stop the accrediting body to say, we are not going to accredit the individual teachers who attend the church that has the same views as Trinity? Now, what's interesting is that the Supreme Court in this case in 2018 did not even hardly refer to the 2001 case, which is a problem in and of itself. And so we have a situation here where here it is. We had an opportunity for a Christian law school that was denied. The Trinity graduates, the Law Society of British Columbia was so concerned about this concept that Trinity students would discriminate and so forth that they even contacted the local universities, University of British Columbia, Thompson Rivers, as well as University of Victoria, to see whether or not there was any problem with Trinity graduates that did their undergrad at Trinity and then went to those law schools at Vic and UBC and Thompson Rivers. And they all came back and said, no, we didn't have any problem with any Trinity Western graduates. In fact, in University of Victoria, one year, the gold medal winner of the law school was, in fact, a Trinity Western graduate. So what I find fascinating about that is that here it is, the Secular Law Society went ahead and conducted this kind of investigation. Imagine if we had, if it was another group that was being investigated, you know, like, in other words, the bad rap that Trinity is receiving because of its religious views is astounding to me.
All right, just wrapping up our pub crawl here with a couple of guys you may know. The first one is Derek Ross. He's the Executive Director and General Counsel for Christian Legal Fellowship. And Barry Bussey. Barry W. Bussey. There's a W there. Don't forget that. He is Director of Legal Affairs for Canadian Council of Christian Charities. And on the pub crawl today, there's only one topic. Should Trinity Western University have been denied their law school accreditation because they don't want their students to be gay? That is how many people have seen this issue, so I thought I'd bring it up to these gentlemen. Let's see. Derek, let me ask you this. Who's next? You know, what do we have to be actually worried about without having the sort of paranoia that goes around with the whole slippery slope syndrome? You know, it's like, I remember back in the day when everyone was talking about gay marriage, people would say things like, well, what's next? Are people going to be allowed to marry their dogs? So without getting into sort of Jerry Springerville, what is next? What is there a legitimate concern about what's next?
Right. Well, thanks for that, Drew. And I think it is important to note that the majority of judges that wrote this decision, they went out of their way in a few places to suggest that their ruling was limited in scope, that it really only applied to the specific facts of the law school and the specific law societies that had a certain mandate. So in and of itself, this ruling doesn't require judges to follow it by the letter and decide in a similar restrictive way, in a way that clamps down on religious community. So that in itself is good news. But in terms of the impact, there's no question that the reasoning in this case does make it more challenging moving forward for other organizations, whether they're Christian or from another faith background, to basically conduct themselves in accordance with religious beliefs and religious teachings that put them at odds with the majority. Not at odds with the law, because, you know, that's always been the case. No religious community can behave in a way that's unlawful. But now what the court has said is, you know, even if what you're doing is lawful, if your religious exercises effectively contrast with these overarching shared values, then you might be sanctioned. So this does raise concerns about the Canada Summer Jobs Program that you mentioned and charitable status for religious organizations. So it is important for people of faith and people of non-faith, for that matter, to really be concerned about what this means for us as a free and democratic society, because as the dissenting judges, those two that disagreed with the majority, and what they said is that Canadians are permitted to hold different sets of values. One person's values may be another person's anathema, but there's nothing troubling in this. What is troubling is the imposition of judges' preferred values to limit constitutionally protected rights, including the right to hold minority values and dissenting values.
Right.
And if I could just, I know you're tight on time, I just want to quickly respond to the way you opened your opening comments, Drew, which I think were really important for us to examine, and that is, you know, is this really a clash of rights? Is this yet another case of Christendom against the LGBT community? And I think it's really important for all of us to look at that question and ask some hard questions about it. But I think one can support same-sex marriage while also supporting the rights of communities like Trinity Western and any religious community, really, to maintain their own beliefs in what marriage is and what they as a community choose to believe.
Okay, but hold on. But it's not, you don't have the Canadian Association of Adulterers protesting you guys. You don't have the Canadian Association of Fornicators or Sex Before Marriage. It, really, the only people that, as far as I can understand, are upset with how things are going down is the LGBT community, and they're the ones saying, especially those within the law school, they're sort of saying, yeah, we don't care about all the other stuff. It's the gay stuff that we're bugged about.
Right. And I think that might be a reflection of the need for there to be more bridge building between the church and the LGBT community. There's no question that there has been hurt and brokenness,
yeah.
and there needs to be restoration there. But I think in this case, what we tried to argue is simply that Trinity is not calling for marriage laws to be changed. They weren't looking to turn back the clock. They were simply looking for the freedom to say, for us, for our community, this is what we believe God designed marriage to be. And allowing them to do that does not injure or harm anyone else's rights.
Yeah.
And that is what I think the court got wrong in this case. This isn't a zero-sum game.
Yeah, right? Okay, yeah. Let's bring Barry in. Final comment, Barry?
Yeah, the other thing to keep in mind here as well is that back in 2005, when marriage was redefined, we did see the court be very accommodating towards religious groups in saying, look, you can't force clergy to marry those that's going to be against their conscience to do so. And we saw as well, when the federal government passed the Civil Marriage Act, they also made it very clear and put it in unmistakable language that as Canadians, we can have differences of opinion on marriage. They also amended the Income Tax Act to ensure that no charity would have to suffer loss of registered charitable status because of their views on marriage. And yet, we have the court doing what it did just a few weeks ago in this case. And so I fully agree with Derek, and with respect to the fact that the court has went out of its way to try to narrow it down. But if we've learned anything in the past is that oftentimes what happens, there's incremental movements, and these incremental movements add up over time. And so what we need to be watching going forward is to see what happens with the nursing accrediting body with TWU. What's going to happen with the education accrediting body dealing with Trinity? These are the questions that we've got to keep in mind and watch and be very vigilant about.
And let's keep in mind that it's not the entire, look, the Christian community is diverse as well, which is why someone like Michael Corrin would be in the opposite side of this argument, this situation.
Right.
You're saying, well, this is the Christian community. Well, even the Christian community is divided on LGBT issues and same-sex marriage, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So I think this is really sort of firing a warning shot over the bow of evangelical Christendom more than anything. Would it not be? I don't know. Listen, let's leave it there because we're out of time. That's why. Derek Ross, Executive Director and General Counsel for Christian Legal Fellowship, christianlegalfellowship.org. Barry Bussey, He is Director of Legal Affairs for Canadian Council of Christian Charities. That's cccc.org. By the CCC. Guys, thank you so much. I'm glad we were finally able to make this happen because it is an interesting and an important issue as far as I'm concerned, and it's called the Drew Marshall Show for a reason. Thank you, guys. Really good to chat with both of you.
It was an awesome pleasure.
Okay, take care. Bye, Barry. Bye, Derek.
Bye now.